thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
Now, if you are blind or partially sighted and you're a musician, it can be quite challenging to find music in the appropriate format for you to read, for instance, Braille music. But things have moved on in recent years, and there are some more options if you are a musician. And I'm joined now by Roger Finman, who has his own company called Golden Chord, and he joins us now. Hi, Roger.
Hello, Simon.
Tell us a bit about Golden Chord, then.
Well, Golden Chord was set up in 2004, and it was my first venture into my own business. And, well, we've been going ever since, creating music for people who need it. And it is run on a commercial basis, so it's not a question of people ringing up and getting things done for free, as much as it would be nice to do that. So it's really based on what customers need, whether they're individuals or people working in employment, examination boards, you know, right across the range, really.
Should say, Roger, that you are blind, so you know the challenges. You're a keen organist, aren't you?
Yes, that's my main instrument, play the classical organ, which I've done for many years, and you know, that's terrific in terms of enjoyment, in terms of professional work, and as well, and it's great to have the opportunity of exploring more music, and there's always more to play and more to play and discover as one goes on in life, really.
I've always loved Bach organ music when I was growing up. I was really interested in electronic music and synthesizers, and I thought that the pipe organ, for instance, was a fantastically phenomenal instrument.
The pipe organ is an amazing instrument, and the thing about pipe organs is that you very rarely find two that are the same, unless it's a builder who is building a, for instance, it could be a model specifically for houses, which would be quite small. So some builders in the past have specialised in just producing that type of organ. But certainly in larger places, such as churches and cathedrals or concert halls, they're all different because the sizes of the spaces into which the organ goes varies. The needs differ. So you end up with different sounds, and different builders, different organ builders, have their own characteristics too, so you can recognize French organs, German organs, English organs. They have very different characteristics, and even the what I'll call the electronic organs or the pipeless organs, the technology has meant that there have been huge improvements, you know, during the last, well, I don't know, over time, really, right back over the last 80, 90 years, well, you know, since their beginnings. And they are quite different in terms of what they can produce. And you may well have heard the one, there is one in Glasgow now.
Yes, the one in the art galleries. My dad used to take me there when I was a young lad, and it still gets played today. It's phenomenal to hear it in the acoustics of the place. But talking about organ music, I mean, I would imagine that that's quite complex music. If you're looking for Braille versions of that, how difficult is that?
There is quite an amount around, but what can be a barrier for the blind musicians is that you are usually going to find perhaps one or two editions of a particular piece. So it's far less easy for a blind organist to study the range of editions that are available in print. So there are, you know, it is possible to get the basic editions that have been done over time. So there is access to lots of the standard repertoire, but there are always things that aren't available, and I'm regrettably at the moment that's always likely to be the case, as far as we can tell, and unless something dramatic happens. For instance, if we were to ever get to the situation where publishers, print publishers, music publishers in this case, had the responsibility that when asked that a particular edition that they have could be made available in Braille, that would be really amazing to get to that point, because if you take the works of J.S. Bach, for instance, there are just so many editions and even good modern editions that are around. And you do want to compare the latest scholarship and learn what is currently being thought about and discussed. And you can only really do that yourself if you can have access to the material at first hand.
So at the moment, obviously, there's a big, I was going to say niche, but there's a big hole in the market for that. So somebody like yourself with Golden Chord, then, can you fill it in there just now? If I came to you and said I was looking for a particular piece of music converted to Braille or translated to Braille, is that what you would do for me?
Yes. Yes, I would say if you got in touch with me and you had a particular requirement, I would say if you have the printed music, please send it to me, and then on that basis we can work out what it's going to cost to do, and then if you're happy with that, go ahead and get it produced and sent to you.
So has technology made a big difference to you then in your business in being able to provide this service?
I use technology in different ways, and I think there are different approaches. That obviously the technology is moving on, and as things develop, I'm hoping that it will be possible to use technology even more. But what I think is important for people to know is that over the years, one has heard promises. I've heard quite a few promises over years that, well, it won't be too long before blind musicians can have all the music they've ever wanted to have, and that raises expectations, I think, unrealistically. We're not at that stage yet, and I don't think it's right for people to make necessarily to make all those claims. However, there are ways using current technology for people to get what they need more quickly. And I think there is a difference between music that's needed for either private use or something you need in a hurry, and it doesn't really matter too much if it hasn't got all the detail in it or if it's not absolutely accurate as one might produce a copy for, you know, if one was going to use it for an ongoing basis or making it available for other people to use. So there is technology there, and other advances in technology are making it possible for instance, people to write using Braille music and then converting that back to printed music. If you're a student when you're doing university courses or college courses or whatever, so to be able to do things like that, and that wasn't possible too long ago. So the world is making life a bit easier.
It's interesting, though. I started developing sight problems in my mid-teens, and probably by the age of 18 or 20, I gave up reading music, and I didn't learn to read Braille. That's a disadvantage for me, but for a lot of young musicians coming up, they will already read Braille, and it could make the thought of actually getting accessible music much more attractive.
Accessible music is a really important issue, and through organisations like the United Kingdom Association for Accessible Formats, UCAF, there is a music subject area within that, and I'm just one member of quite a wide-ranging group of music people from, you know, all walks of life, really. And accessible music is really key, and getting that music into the mainstream, particularly Braille music, so that it's not seen as something different, something separate, or something that people still seem to be amazed that there is such a thing as Braille music. And we think we're doing well in you know, that people will know about it, but it still amazes me from time to time how many people still don't know. So there's always going to be that kind of ongoing work to make sure that accessible music, Braille music, modified stave notation, whatever it is out in the mainstream.
And so what can we as musicians do then to try and help this process along, would you say?
I think when you are meeting and talking to people, and it just might come up naturally in conversation that these things do exist, and by mentioning it, it then might be a trigger for somebody saying, oh, actually, I know somebody who might be able to benefit from use of that. And I mean, we know that there are people with people who are partially sighted, people who are losing their sight later in life, or at any time in life, who may feel that music is something they want to continue to do, to enjoy, in which to participate, because it's a great social activity. If you're a singer, or you're joining with other people in instrumental groups, either playing by ear or from music, but just being involved in the mix, it's really important. So the more the word is spread, the better, really.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you on that. I have been playing music since I was a little boy. I just always loved music. So my dad got me, I think, he bought me a mouth organ, I remember. And I think I must have tormented with him. I used to sit in the car and play it, and we'd walk around playing it.
Yeah.
And my Uncle Tony, he was a music teacher, and he's a very keen concert pianist and organist. And I think he sent me my first recorder. And it grew from there, and I learned to read music. And it's interesting, because I've often thought that if I could have stayed reading music, sometimes that would open things out. It's easier to learn a new piece if you have it in front of you, whereas I don't practice in between. Apart from going to the studio or playing a gig, I have to rehearse it in my head and then just hope for the best when I get there.
Yes, I mean, I think there are more opportunities today for people to be engaging with music in different ways, and people will do it differently. Even people, for instance, who read Braille music, it doesn't mean that they will never play by ear, because obviously one would like to think that they've got pretty good ears anyway. So having that facility, and it's a combination of doing different things in different ways at different times of life or in different situations. So it's finding out what is going to work best for somebody as an individual, what their needs are, and how can they enjoy and engage and fully participate in what they want to do.
So would you welcome some inquiries if any musicians out there, blind or partially sighted, are looking for more information on this, or perhaps wanting to be pointed in the right direction? Are you okay for people to get in touch with you?
Most certainly. I would welcome that. If people would like any information from me, be it about my business or not, it might, or wider than that, then if I can point people in the right direction, then I most certainly will.
One way people could get in touch with you would be through your website, which is Golden Chord. Tell us the web address, please.
The address is www.golden, G-O-L-D-E-N, and then the dash, then chord, chord.com.
And I actually found it just searching for Golden Chord, and there's a nice picture of you there with the keyboard.
Brilliant.
Roger Finman, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you, and I'm sure we will chat again at some point, but thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.